word tonight, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you got it? It says in verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. We've been a few weeks now on a series on walking by faith. Amen? And what it means to be a person that walks by faith. Of course, to be someone that walks by faith means you're walking by belief in the Word of God. That means you're stepping out in unknown, unseen areas, trusting in the Word of God to support you when you get out there. I did a message many years back I called Rhema Bridges. And I was talking about when a person starts to learn how to walk by faith, they've got to learn how to step off that place, off that cliff, where you're stepping into what looks like an impossible situation, yet God's told you to do it. Don't step into the impossible unless you have a word from God. Don't just step out because you want to see, you know, don't step out of the boat, you know, you're out in the middle of the ocean. Don't step out of the boat unless Jesus told you to come. Or there's a good chance you're going to get wet. Amen? And there's sharks in them, their waters. So make sure you have a word from God. But God will call you many times to trust Him and step into the impossible, into the unseen areas. He may tell you to sow a big seed when your rent's due the next day. Trust me, He'll say. You know, He told me to sow that car when I needed to sell it to pay school bills. Trust me, He says. He'll tell you to trust you in areas of health many times that, you know, you believe you need to get to the doctor, and God said, trust me with this one. I remember when I was traveling back from Dallas, Texas, from a believers convention several years back, and I've told this story many times, but I got to Nashville. We'd driven, you know, what was it, 700 straight miles, and I was beat. It's like 11 o'clock at night, and I was spent. And I stopped, and I needed to get home. We had stuff the next day to do. I don't know if it was Sunday. It was going to be Sunday morning or whatever. And I stopped to get coffee. And I started to get the coffee. And God said, why don't you trust me to keep you awake instead of that caffeine? I said, okay, God, I trust you. And a caffeine anointing hit me that time. And I was wide awake the rest of the trip home till I got, you know, just a few miles from home. God wants you to learn how to step off that cliff. And what happens is because you spent time meditating the Word of God, God will have built a Rhema bridge to catch you when you step off. But the thing is the Rhema bridge is invisible. You cannot see God's support system with the natural eyes. You can only see it through the mind or the eye of faith. And God will tell you to step off. And you know that because God told you, you know He's going to catch you even if you don't see a seen or visible means of support. There was a movie that came out years ago. It was an Indiana Jones movie. And what was that one? Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. Now, I'm not recommending these movies necessarily. I enjoyed them, but there are some worldly aspects in them. But he's going through this puzzle where he's got to get to this chalice that was supposed to hold the blood of Jesus. And the directions tell him to step off this cliff. And faith will catch him. Something like that. You remember this? And he says, well, I've got to do it. My dad's dying. If I don't get that, you know, he's going to die. He closes his eyes and just steps off. And it turns out there was a bridge painted to match the terrain beneath that it made it look like it wasn't there. But when he stepped off, he only fell a foot or two, and the bridge caught him. That's what faith does. And God, if you're going to walk by faith, will have you step into what looks like the impossible. What looks like a situation that's going to cause you damage. And God's saying, no, I need you to risk trusting me, risk using your faith, and watch me promote you in the situation. Are you following me on that? Faith is willing to step into the unseen realm. So we've been talking about walking and what walking really is. Science has said walking is a series of controlled falls. And just to refresh, because it's been a few weeks since we've talked about it, we were talking about a controlled fall. What it is when you go to take a step, You leave a position of safety and balance. I mean, when you're going to walk, you leave a place where you've got your feet positioned. You've created a foundation of support that you have safety and balance. But to walk, what you have to do is shift. I don't have time to go into the physics of your center of gravity. But whenever your center of gravity moves outside of your support footers. In other words, if your feet are here and you shift your center of gravity beyond that outside support, you will fall over. Did you follow me on that? So when you walk, you're standing here, the first thing you do is you lift up a foot and you shift your center of gravity out over the support foot. You've got one foot left. You move your center of gravity out over that and you begin to fall, trusting you'll be able to catch yourself with the next step. Well, God says in walking by faith, I need you to pick up your foot and shift your balance and go into a position of a potential fall and trust I'm going to catch you with that next step. Because it's not even faith in your own ability to walk. It's faith in God's ability to support you. And faith is learning how to live on the support system of the Word of God. And you can learn to trust the Word of God with your health, with your finances, with your family. Amen. With your employment, with your peace. You can learn how to use the Word of God in every area of life. And not just as a safety net. So many Christians are trying to use the Word of God just for a safety catch. You know, when everything else has failed, when every effort I've made to try to support myself and meet my needs and, you know, obtain what I need, when everything I've done has failed, now I'm going to try the Word of God. When God wants to be your first option. We're to live by faith, not just be rescued by faith. So God wants us to get in the Word of God and learn how to access His power and provision through the Word. You know, one of the key things I'm after in the Word, have been for years, is I believe the Word of God promises access to the love of God. I want the love of God in my life. You follow me? I want to be so full of the love of God, when people look at me, they see Jesus. And I don't believe I'm there yet. But I'm endeavoring. And so I want to learn how to use my faith to extract love out of God's kingdom system and bring it into my life in an anointed fashion. I want an anointing on my life. When I come in contact with people, they're instantly drawn to the kingdom of God. They're not repelled. They're not repulsed. They are drawn to what I have to say by that love. And of course, they come for my fruit. I plant a seed in return. They want the fruit. I give them seed so they can have the same love in them. So I confess love all the time. Amen. And what will happen is you'll put yourself where you're declaring you want the love of God, and then the enemy's going to test it. And God will say, don't be offended. Don't take it to heart. Amen. Trust the love of God to protect you in this situation. Don't try to extract your own vengeance. You bless them and I'll fix it. Jesus repeatedly said, bless your enemies. What was he saying? Learn how to live by faith regarding the love of God. So you can learn how to use faith for every area. I use faith for years on my spouse. Not that she didn't have any, you know, that she wasn't already perfect, but our marriage wasn't perfect. And there was a coming together that needed to happen in our understanding, in our marriage, where we had a marriage made in heaven. From my standpoint, we have it now. She may have another idea. She can talk about it at the marriage conference. But I love our marriage. Amen? I'm so thankful for my wife. But I understand the wife I have, I obtained by faith. Because if not for faith, one of us would have bailed out long ago, if not both. Because there were times the enemy was so testing our marriage covenant that it took all the faith we had. And I'm so glad we use faith. Because see, when you use faith and you see God's supernatural manifestation bring the solution versus you trying to make it work, versus you trying to just see the marriage counselor, when you trust God for the anointing to make it work, He makes it better than it could ever been made by human means. Because you did it by faith, God creates something in your heart to take it to a whole higher level. And God wants us to learn how to walk by faith in every area. But to do so, there is perceived risk. There's perceived risk. Now, I didn't say there was actual risk, but there's perceived risk. Because if you're in faith, faith is a law, and the law of faith always produces. But many times when you take the step of faith, it looks like you're going to fall. In fact, when you're walking, you're used to, in your next step, you're used to, you know, automatic catch right there. You take the next step, you know right there there's going to be a catch. Have you ever been walking along and step off of a small curb and didn't know it was there? I mean, maybe only 1 or 2 inches. And you're walking, you know, subconsciously, you're walking automatically. And you walk, all of a sudden, you take a step and the foot doesn't hit when it should. And for that brief millisecond while your foot's going that extra 2 inches, you're all of a sudden in a panic mode like, where is solid ground? Well, when you're walking by faith, that next foothold isn't always right there in the automatic spot you think it ought to be. Your next step, you may be walking along by faith, and your next one is like, but God will catch you. If you will stand on the Word, not curse your seed. In other words, well, I guess it didn't work. If you will stand on the Word and keep speaking the promise, it will produce. As long as you've taken time to get the Word in your heart, it's not just in your head. You're not doing some, you know, rote confession. You really believe what you're saying. You really come to the place where you're trusting the Word of God. I assure you, faith will support you. Amen? You just may have some panic modes in the midst. What I mean by panic modes is where that foot doesn't catch at the right moment when you think it should. In other words, you think God should have paid the bill then, and it's not paid yet. And all of a sudden, the enemy brings in panic. And all of a sudden, you go into a mental process. Let's see. First, they're going to repossess my car, then my house. Then, you know, all my friends are going to abandon me. They're going to fire me in my job, and I'll be living in a box on the side of the interstate. I mean, in that quick, all of a sudden, you're in the poorhouse. If they even have poorhouses anymore. Amen? Eating out of dumpsters. I have to stay in faith. I assure you, my wife will never eat out of a dumpster. Amen. Faith at times may look like it didn't work, but it always works. And you got to learn how to keep fueling and feeding your faith in this walking process, that when that fear tries to grasp you, you can still have enough word. You say, no, bless God, the Word has decreed this shall come to pass. When those symptoms are on your body and it looks like, you know, that it's going to last forever, you got to know that God said, no, there is an end to this thing. Which brings me to this point I want to throw in. And you know this. And when I say it, you're going to say, that's true. But many times in the middle of an attack, we forget it. The enemy always fights along the same lines. He doesn't have any new weapons. Amen? He keeps using the same old ones because they work so often. And one of his main weapons is, he brings an attack, and his main statement he says is, and this will last forever. You know, physical symptoms hit your body, all of a sudden you know that your back's hurting, or your sciatic nerve is screaming, or your foot's hurting. He always says, and it's not ever going to be any better than this. There's strife in your marriage. The enemy says it'll never get better. It will only get worse. He always tells you that it's about finished, that it will never be healed. It will never succeed. I want you to hear this, because this is the key point in fighting the good fight of faith. The enemy always says the battle you're in is permanent. And as we've said many times, he cannot sustain oppression. If you will speak the word, he cannot sustain the fight. Get this. Only the word is eternal. So when you're in a fight of faith, you're the one with the eternal weapon. The enemy only has temporal weapons. He cannot maintain the symptoms on your body. He cannot maintain the strife in your life if you'll speak the love of God. Are you following me? He cannot maintain the financial pressure if you'll keep sowing and tithing and speaking the word. He can't do it. Trust the word to be the one that has the last laugh. Trust the word to sustain you. Amen. We're to be those that walk by faith. Every attack of the enemy, if you will come through it properly, is always temporary. Now I'm going to ask you a question here. How many in here have ever been in a fight of faith, whether it was sickness, whether it was strife, whether it was finances, and the enemy always said it was permanent? Raise your hand. The enemy, if you ever raise it high where everybody can see, an enemy told you the battle was permanent. Do you see that? Every single hand, for the most part, went up. That means when he's telling you that, he's lying. You know, last month when I had that attack that night against my head, and it felt like he was taking an ice pick going through my eyes, up my nose. I mean, it was intense pain. And all I could do was pray in tongues and speak the word and command the devil to let go and declare my healing. And as I'm doing that, amen, the devil says, it will never get better. For it ever to get better, they will have to amputate your head. I mean, this is permanent. There's a pinched nerve. There's some kind of, you know, brain tumor. There's whatever, you know, it's permanent. But I've been in this long enough to know he can't sustain an attack and say, devil, there's no attack against me that can ever be permanent. And I'll win this one like I've won every one in the past. You're going to lose. Now get thee behind me, Satan. And when you learn that he can't sustain it, it will bolster your faith. It will keep you from going into a panic dive. You follow me? Oh, I better run the medicine cabinet. Better run to the counselor. Better run over here. Just refuse to panic. Hold on to what the Word of God says and watch the Word deliver you. Did you follow me on that? Watch the Word deliver you. So we are those that learn how. We are to learn how to walk by faith. And it's something we have to develop. It's something you have to practice. It's something you have to learn to make automatic. There's times you have to force yourself out of that balanced position of safety and launch out in the deep. Did you follow me? You know, when the disciples were fishing, they'd fished all night, they hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus says, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Well, the fishermen knew you don't catch fish in the deep, you catch fish in the shallows. Amen? That's where they congregate for protection and to feed. Yet Jesus said, go out where you normally never catch anything, because your way hasn't produced all night anyway. You might as well try it my way. And he'd been teaching them faith all along. He says, now launch out in the deep area and let your nets down. And they drew in so many fish, it began to sink the ships that were there to draw in the harvest. For God to get your harvest to you will require you to launch out where you've never been before. For God to get the supply, the promotion, the new place in your life will require you to launch out, to step out. You know, I've been remarking to Patty lately that Aaron's leading a praise and worship in this church. He and Leon and the whole, you know, praise and worship crew has gone to a level that I didn't even foresee them coming to at this point in time. I mean, they're flowing. I mean, sounding wonderful. And not to pick on Aaron. I mean, not to pick on him, but I remember when he launched out originally. You know, we had a demand, and I said, Aaron, you're the only one left. You're the worship leader. And he was used to not even hardly opening his mouth during vocals and just strumming on his guitar, you know. And I said, you're the worship leader. Okay. And I believe God had already prepared him for it. Amen. Already told him it was coming, but he had to launch out. And I've watched him for the last 2 years continue to stretch out further and further in this area of placing greater demand on him in praise and worship. Amen. More practices. More focus on the harmony. More focused on excellence in it. What's he doing? He's launching out in the deep. He's launching out in a place he's seen other people swim before, but he'd never swam there. And he was willing to go into it. And God's going to promote him in this area beyond what he's ever even comprehended. Be willing to launch out. Be willing to stretch into a place where you've never been. Because if you can't stretch, amen, you'll never run. Running is a walk in accelerated fashion with a greater stretch. Did you follow me? In other words, you walk at this spacing between paces. You never run like this with the same spacing. When you run, you're stretching. And you're doing it in an accelerated fashion so you can cover more ground and accomplish more of what you're looking to accomplish. And we're to be those that run toward the vision. But you can't run until you learn to walk. And if we're to walk by faith, we're certainly to run by faith. We were never meant to try to do this thing on our own wisdom, provision, amen, our own strength. We're to do it by trusting in God. I heard a story years ago. And I believe it was Robert Tilton was building his church in Dallas. And he had had instructions to build this church. And they had taken everything they had invested in this building program. And they reached a point where they had this structure up and they ran out of money. And nothing's happening. He's got no money coming in to do it, you know. There's no money to build it. And he's got this big shell there everybody's looking at, laughing at. He began to build, but he couldn't finish. And he was starting to get depressed over it. If I've got the story right. If not, we'll put in the right name sometime in the future. He was getting oppressed or discouraged over it. And Lord spoke to him. And he went and got his assistant. And he says, go down to the corner grocery, bring us back 2 RC Cokes and 2 moon pies. Y'all know what a moon pie is, right? And bring them back. And when he did, they went out on a construction site. They sat down there and he declares he had instruction from God to do this. They sat there and drank their RC, ate their moon pie, relaxed and worshiped God. And as they're worshiping God, semi start pulling into the parking lot with building supplies. Yeah. Just trust in God. Amen. You stepped out. You stretched. Now praise God for Him to finish what you stepped into. Amen. Because that good work, which He's begun in you, He'll continue till the day of Christ Jesus, right? Philippians 1:6. He'll finish it. But He needs us to stretch into it. Ministers that won't stretch will never fulfill a high call. I know in this ministry, I probably haven't stretched as much as God would have me to, but I stretched every time I thought I was supposed to. I don't know that I've ever missed when God says stretch out. Could be I have, but I don't know of anything that I have missed Him where He said do it. So every time, you know, every year we stretch into something new, something bigger, something greater, endeavoring to bring about the body that God can put the, you know, bring His glory upon. And there's coming a day God's going to say, now stretch into that Ford building. Yeah. Amen. Through some means or another. Amen. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to walk around the thing here very soon. go up and lay my hands on a building and declare it ours for the kingdom. I've already claimed it, but I want to get over on the property and claim it. But it'll be a stretch. And it'll be an all hands on deck. There could be a building in between. But it'll be an all hands on deck. Let's make this happen. Let's stretch into what God's promised us. We're to be those that walk by faith. So when we're reading about walking in Scripture, I want you to have in mind that it has to do with faith. Let's look at some Scriptures to deal with. Turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at some of these instances. Have you got it? Verse 1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 99 years old, you're never too old to stretch in faith. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. That word Almighty there is El Shaddai. Amen. The Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. God said here, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that we know that we're to walk by faith, what's he telling Abraham to do? He's telling him to live by faith. He's saying walk by faith. When he says walk before me, he's telling him, I need you to believe what I've told you in the past. I need you to act on the promise I gave you that your seed would be as numerous as the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. Amen. Out of you all nations shall be blessed. He needed to believe God for that. So when God says, walk before me, what he's telling Abraham is always be mindful that you've got a covenant with me. Always be mindful that you have a promise from me, and I'm going to bring about your promised seed. I understand he's 99 years old here. God's about to change his name. How many know that was a stretch? Yeah. At 99, God changes his name and changes his name to Father of Many. And Sarah, you know, Sarai to Sarah, Mother of Many. They're walking around calling themselves Mother and Father, and they have no children. Other than, you know, Abraham now has Ishmael. God's stretching him. And he says, walk before me or live by faith. And he says, and you will be perfect. Now understand, Abraham was never perfect. You follow me on that? No man has ever been perfect in a trying fashion except Jesus. You, even though you're perfect on the inside, still have imperfections on the outside. So when we read about perfection in Scripture, it's not talking about that you're without flaw. It means you're matured. Complete. The word perfect means that there's nothing missing in your life that is required to fulfill God's call on your life. Did you follow me? You know, if I... trying to think of a good example. If I have someone tune up my car, say I took my car to someone and I said, I need you to tune up this car. And so they go in and put the new plug, to put plugs in it, plug wires, you know, filters and everything. And they bring it to me and we start it and we, you know, pull back the throttle and it's whoom, whoom, sounds good. I say it's perfect. It's not perfect. If it was perfect, he'd have gutted it. Put in oversized pistons, bigger cams. Are you following me? Supercharger. I mean, it would be, for it to be perfect for me, it had to have all this other stuff on it. I mean, my idea of a perfect car is not just one that's tuned up, but it was perfect as far as what I requested him to do. And perfection for us doesn't mean you have no flaws. It just means you are, how can I say it, meeting the requirements to fulfill the call. We had a move back in the 80s regarding bringing quality to American plants. And actually, the Ford Motor Company was the first one to act on this. They found out that Japanese vehicles and Japanese transmissions that were being built for Ford were actually of higher quality than the Ford ones being built in the States. And I don't have time to go into the story, but we came up with, in the United States, a whole quality focus on our vehicles. And we defined quality as not being perfect, but being meeting the requirements. Quality is conformance to the specifications. Did you follow me? Doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means it's conformed to what you needed. So when God says to Abraham, you're perfect, God's saying, you're exactly how I need you to bring about my promise for your life. Amen? Now change your names to Abraham and Sarai. I want to tell you, you are perfect if you're walking by faith to fulfill God's high call on your life. And you may make mistakes. You may be like me and stumble now and then. You follow me? Say the wrong thing or react in the wrong way. You may have flaws that you've not got total victory over, although I know in your eyes I'm perfect. Amen. But there's still areas I'm working on. But God says, you're equipped with everything you need to stretch by faith into what I've assigned you to do. You follow me? Be willing to stretch. Be willing to trust God. Be willing to step out. Hallelujah. And God says, because you're now equipped to walk before me, I will multiply you exceedingly. God needs us to learn to walk before Him by faith, and then He will make the supply happen. He will multiply us in a supernatural fashion. It is not your responsibility to make manifestation happen. Let me say that again. It is not your responsibility to make manifestation take place. It's your responsibility to step out on what God said to step into and trust Him for the manifestation. Because if we do it ourselves, then it's not supernatural. God wants to be our supply, our provider, our rescue, and everything else. Exodus chapter 16. Now here we have Israel has launched out by faith to go to the promised land. And you talk about an excursion. The trip from Israel or from Egypt to the promised land was something like an 11-day journey. And it took them 40 years. You think you've had some setbacks. But it was a stretch. They had to step out by faith, even to come up out of their place of servitude and demand that Pharaoh let them go. I mean, the first few times that Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go, what's Pharaoh do? He multiplies the task load on the people. They're coming to Moses saying, what are you doing? He's making it worse. We thought you were here to help. It's like the government. We're here to help you. I mean, Moses is trying to rescue God's people, and instead it's getting worse. Have you ever had that happen when you stepped out by faith? It got worse. And people are pointing fingers at you. I thought we were going to be in the glory by now. Amen? Where's all that manifestation of finance you promised? How come my leg still hurts? You follow me? People start to grumble again. Somebody got a sore leg. Amen. People start to grumble because they haven't got their manifestation, and it's always the leader's fault. But God had given Moses a word. So Moses, through the hand of God, sees Israel set free to go to the promised land. The problem is between Egypt and the promised land is desert. And there's limited water, amen, and no food. And they've got 2 million people. So it's not like they were carrying enough in their pockets to make the journey. And God delays the trip. He delays it. He makes them go through the wilderness, first of all, versus take the most commonly traveled route. Because Israel's faith is not ready to confront the Philistines. And then Moses takes some time at Mount Sinai for a month vacation with God. And the people are wondering, what's going on here? We've stretched out into this. Where is God's supply? Why aren't we going into the promised land yet? Do you follow me? And they come to the point there right off the bat where they don't have anything to eat. So they're grumbling about not having food. And God tells Moses, verse 4, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." God says, I'm going to make it rain bread from heaven. Now that bread from heaven is a representation of the Word of God. The Word of God is our daily bread. Do you follow me? And God said, I'm going to give you supernatural sustenance out of the Word of God to see if you can walk before me. In other words, if you're going to be a person that walks by faith, you need a daily intake of the Word of God. You need to make sure you're getting Scripture daily in some fashion or another. If you can't get in the Bible every day, get you a CD. If you can't get a CD, write one verse on the back of a card, carry it with you. Carry our confession cards back there. But get you some word intake every day. Because you can't walk by faith without fuel. How far would Israel have made it across the wilderness without the manna? Let me say that again. Without the manna, without the quail, how far would Israel have made it across the wilderness? Certainly not 40 years without food. Your ministry may stretch 40 years or more. And you're going to need a daily diet of the Word of God to do it. And if you're going to walk before God and pass the test the enemy's going to throw across your path, you better make sure you have enough word to fuel your faith to be able to walk on the Word of God. You follow me? Walk by faith on the Word of God to go over those challenges, over and above them. You cannot walk by faith above your word level. That doesn't take 10 hours a day of word. Do you spend 10 hours a day at the dinner table? You know what I found out? I can eat fast. There are people that will sit down to big dinners. Now, see, I've never been a person that was into the dining experience. The vast majority of my meals I've eaten out my life were a burger at the to-go window, gobbled down as I drove to my next appointment. I'm not a person that takes a great deal of, satisfaction in sitting down and sitting at a dinner table for an hour and a half just to eat. Fellowship's fine, but just to eat? I'm not that much into food. So, me personally, I probably spend less than half an hour a day eating total. 3 meals a day, less than 10 minutes each probably. Get it, eat it, I'm good to go. Total. Unless we have a sit-down meal with Patty, she's cooked dinner or something, then we sit down and eat. You know, and it takes me 15 minutes or more. The point is, you can do that with the Word of God. You don't need hours. If you can get hours, great. But just learn how to nibble something through the day. Learn to be God-minded, God-aware, and bring some Word in. Chew on it in your mind as you go down the road or as you're going through your day. Meditate the Word of God. Confess the Word of God. And as you do, faith develops. Faith is not developed by, you know, coming to church, you know, once or twice a week and hearing a nice sermon. You don't think about the Word or getting the Word the rest of the week. Are you guys following me on this? And believe it or not, adults should not have to be spoon-fed by another adult. I mean, if we have Robert here, just use him as an example because he won't get offended, and it's Robert's time to eat, Alma doesn't come in and grab the spoon and scoop it up, open the oatmeal and say, "Okay, Robert, here comes the plane. Oh, open the hangar." Babies are taught to eat. Adults have learned how to recognize when there's hunger and feed themselves. You have the responsibility to do the same. It shouldn't be that I force it down you. Start taking roll call. Vicky, how much word did you get today? Vicky. Pastor Jack, sir. I've had 20 minutes of word in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon, 20 minutes a night. Sir. We're not going to do that. You know how I take roll call in here regarding whether you've been in the Word? The expression on your face when you come through the doors. You can tell. If you ever watch a NASCAR race, you can tell the cars on the track that run out of gas. They're the ones everybody else is passing. You follow me on that? Anybody ever watch NASCAR? Ever see a car run out of gas? They didn't go as fast as the others. And when a person comes between those doors and they're dragging, I know their fuel tank is low. Amen. Because if you're full of the Word, you'll be full of faith, and faith will elevate your facial expression to another level. Hallelujah. And so God provides us with daily revelation to fuel your faith. Because He needs you fueled for faith to uphold you. Amen. And guess what? If you endeavor to walk by faith, He will give you revelation of it. He will strengthen you by it. All you got to do is open the book. He'll do the rest. Just don't make this mistake. Don't open the book and say, "I never get anything out of the Bible." There went that promise. Because God said He'd feed you with knowledge and understanding. Why do you want to curse what God has said? Amen. I'm looking at all these expressions right now. People are like, "How do you know that?" The enemy always attacks people with that accusation as well. Why bother reading? You don't get anything. The first time I read the entire Bible, I felt like I didn't get anything. So you know what I did? I read it again. And I got a little more. Then I read it again, and I got some more. Then I got commentaries explain stuff, and I read it again, and got. Can you imagine this? You get up one day, and you eat your eggs and bacon or oatmeal, whatever your cereal, and you walk in there, and you say, "I just really don't feel much strength at that meal." Man, I feel now is just kind of as unenergized as I did before I ate. I guess eating doesn't work. I'll never eat again. As you can see, I've learned to practice eating. Whether I felt strengthened by it or not, I've learned just try it again. Strength will come. Throwing some in-between snacks and everything else. Why quit the Word of God? Because you didn't feel anything that one time. That's a lie. And faith requires a diet of the Word of God. Amen. Exodus 18. Let's go to verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Amen. God's telling Moses, I need you to teach the people so they can walk before me. My job is to teach you so you can walk before God. Amen. If you're going to walk by faith, you need a teacher. Now, I know you got walking in the natural down. You follow me? But walking by faith always requires further instruction. Because always, God always wants us to walk at higher levels of faith. So maintain your teachability. Never get to the point that I think, you know, you think you have this faith stuff down. Never get to the point that you think you've arrived and you, you know, you don't need to learn faith anymore. You don't need to learn any more Word of God. You will always need to be taught about the kingdom of God to walk at the levels God would have you walk in. I've been doing this for quite a while, and I still can't open the Word and God didn't teach me something new. They didn't challenge me to, you know, stretch to higher levels. Amen. Maintain your teachability. I tell you, I think we have time to go through this. Go to Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to get into some stuff on this one. Leviticus chapter 26. Have you got it? Is God speaking to Israel about their obedience? And one of the things we're to obey God in is to walk by faith, not by sight. We're commanded to be faith people. For without faith it's impossible to please God, right? We're commanded to be faith people. It was never meant to be optional. You're saved by faith. You're to continue in the same fashion the rest of your walk. It says in verse 1, God says, ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. Understand, God wants all of your worship. I don't have time to go into idolatry tonight, but God hates you bowing down anything but Him. And it's not just talking about, you know, some statue. You can bow down to your house. You can bow down to your car. You can bow down to your family. What is it that will take you out of church? You can bow down to that. You can bow down to your favorite sports team. It's amazing how many people, not just in Kentucky, everywhere you go, how many people have in their house a shrine unto a sports team? I mean, I don't know how many I've been in Kentucky. And they're in Tennessee as well. I've got friends that have them, that have their own big blue room. They've taken one room of the house. They're all over this area. And they painted it blue, Kentucky blue. They've got pennants and banners and photos and all on the wall. You know, pictures of their favorite players, schedules, results, number one banners all along. I've got a friend in Tennessee, a close friend. They have a big orange room. He took his basement. It's a nice house. Painted the walls Tennessee orange. It's beautiful. Put in a big screen TV. Amen. Got a bar in there, you know, a wet bar and all this stuff, because he's not, wasn't sanctified last I saw him. Pennants, banners everywhere, all around, photos of Tennessee, Peyton Manning, Philip Fulmer everywhere. And every time there's a Tennessee game, if they're not at the game, they have a party at their house, invite everybody, and they have a big Tennessee party to watch the game. What is it? It's a shrine. They're more excited whether Tennessee wins, whether God's kingdom is advancing. Do you follow me? And I'm not trying to cut Kentucky or any game. I'm just talking about you have to make sure that you don't displace your affection that's supposed to be focused on God to a temporary team, because the number one, how can I say, number one declaration only lasts a year. It's only good for you. You're number one for a year. You go after God, you'll be number one for eternity. Amen? So God says, set aside the shrines and the idols. Verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I'm the Lord. God wants you to learn how to go into this place, the place of rest, which of course is learning how to live in the promises. Verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes, what do we say walking represents? Faith. Living by faith. In other words, where he says, if you walk in my statutes, understand to walk in God's statutes took faith. You have to believe if you'll do what's right, if you'll follow God's direction, that God will bless you. God will reward you. Even in Old Testament, it took faith. You had to believe if you would follow the law of God, God would receive you to heaven. Do you follow me on that? It takes faith even to come to church now. You had to believe that coming to church is going to reward you for the time you expend. So to walk before God or walk in God's statutes and directions is talking about if you will exercise faith. If you will invest your life by faith in what I'm directing you to do. And keep my commandments and do them. Look what he says will happen. Here's what he says will happen if you walk by faith. Putting it in context what we're talking about now. Then I will give you rain in due season. That's the outpouring of the Spirit on your life. And the land shall yield her increase. There's your harvest. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. You're the trees. And God wants you to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Just by walking in faith, God says you're going to develop in the fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage. And the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. You will be without lack. In other words, the sowing and vintage all overlapping would mean what you harvest one year would last all the way through the next year. You would never have a time where you ran out. No more week to week. Amen? And I will give peace in the land. And you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. That's all by faith. That's all by living by faith. God will protect you. And you shall chase your enemies and they shall fall before you by the sword. That's the word. The sword is the word of God. And you're going to chase them. I ministered this in Madison a little bit last night. This is the year I believe the Avengers assemble. It's time to chase versus be chased. It's time to overtake versus be overtaken. Or, you know, backed into a corner. And 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. There's the word again. For I will have respect unto you. That means you'll be God's favorite. God will give you respect versus the enemy. And make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. This is all by walking by faith. This is what God says he will do to the person that will stretch into faith. And you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. You have to get rid of the old because you have so much new coming in. We've ministered this message several times. Out with the old, in with the new. That many times, if you wanted God to bring new stuff into your house, go ahead and get rid of the old now. Make a place. You got old clutter in the house, old junk, get rid of it and expect God to replace it with new. Because God said you'll have to get rid of the old because of the new, and if you're in faith, you'll get rid of the old in advance. In many cases. And I've watched many people empty whole rooms of furniture. And that room sat empty for a while. Sitting on boxes or whatever, and then watch God bring in brand new stuff. Amen? Just don't be claiming my couch. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. In other words, His presence is going to be with us. His tabernacle is among us. We will dwell in His presence. And I will walk among you. Oh, glory to God. I will walk among you. God says, you walk before me, you walk in my statutes, and I will walk among you. That takes faith. That you're going to walk in God's presence. And you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. I have made you walk upright. God, I believe this is an end time promise for the first, this is an end time promise. But it's for a people that have learned to walk by faith. God has plans for His church in the end times. Amen. But He needs a people that will stretch into what He's promised. That will say, God, I want you to get a hold of this. He's looking for people that will say, God, what would you have me stretch into? I do this. Do you do this? See, we're so wanting to be in our comfort zone. We want to move out of the place where we're stretched into a place of comfort. Oh, let me think of the right game. I'm trying to think of where it's like, did you ever say play Parcheesi or Sorry? And when you're playing Sorry, I guess is the one I'm thinking of, and you're going all around the board, and if somebody lands on you, they go, Sorry! You know, kick you back home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever play Sorry? If they land on your spot, they kick your little cone right back home, you got to start over. Sorry! But as you almost get home, and you're going back up the place where you finished the trek around the board, there's a place that's called Safe Zone. I don't know if it's called that, but it's the Safe Zone. And if you ever get your man on the Safe Zone, they can't ever land on that spot and kick you back. Did you follow me? Well, people that are learning to walk by faith are always seeking the Safe Zone. They'll stretch out. God will say, stretch out, and they'll sow the seed or do something by faith, and they'll get around as quick as they can, get the Safe Zone. Okay, now I don't do faith anymore. Stretch is over. I like it here. It's good and safe. Ah, yeah, praise God. No threats. Amen. God never expected you to stay in a safe zone. He'll let you get to a safe spot, and depending on your desire to advance in the kingdom, how much you're seeking God to accelerate your development, He'll then say, now get out of that safe area and step out again. And too many Christians like the safe zone. Not me. I'm not going to that Grace Church. They're crazy down there. Amen. They make you give up all your money. That's not safe down there. God don't make me stretch into that. There's people, they touch them and they fall down on the floor. I don't want them touching me. It's not safe. But I'm telling you, those have a hunger for God. You'll stretch wherever God sends you. You're looking for the supernatural. You're looking to experience the miracle power of God. You will never see the healing power of God in your life to any level unless you're willing to stretch into praying for somebody that in your mind they may get upset if it doesn't work. You will never move in any level of the healing power of God unless you're willing to stretch in faith and pray for people publicly. Here's what the safe zone Christian does. They say, you got pain in your body? You know, the Bible says we can pray for people and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Come with me over here. Or to meet me at 2 o'clock tomorrow. I know a nice quiet place we can be and nobody will see us. Amen. Be sure and bring plenty of aspirin in case it didn't work. Versus God will say, why are you playing it safe? Why are you acting like it won't work? Why are you afraid that maybe people will think you're crazy if you just obey my word? Now pray for them now. I remember when God was calling me to do that. I remember one time in the cashier line at Kroger. I'm in a line, minding my own business, checking out. And the girl's back there, you know, checking. I said, and something said, ask her. Don't ask her. Ask her. Yeah. You got a headache? Yes, I got a horrible headache, you know. Oh, that's, I hate headaches. You know, that's too bad. Amen. Can I have my change, please? You know, that's what you're thinking. And God says, pray for it. And so you want to say something like, oh, I know how those hurt. I'm going to remember you in prayer. God said, lay your hand on her. So I remember, I said, you know, I believe in the power of God to heal. This is years ago. This is 20 more years ago. I believe in the power of God to heal. And I've seen God heal me of many things, other people. I said, can I pray for you? And of course, I said, sure, you can pray for me. And then I say, well, you know, I like to lay hands on somebody I'm praying. Can I just lay my hand on your head? And then they look at you like you're crazy. But you got to be willing to step out. And they may say no. And look around and go, ooh, you know. Well, you're risking. You're risking your reputation on the Word of God. But I remember, said, yeah, you can pray. I reached over and said, in Jesus' name, I command his headache to go be healed. And it left. And she's going, wow, thanks. Well, no big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal because of the devil is trying to get you not to do it. And you got to be willing to risk ridicule on behalf of walking by faith. And it's amazing. I need to close this up, but it's amazing how many times you can't do it in a closet. You know, the Lord tells you to sow something major. This is just one he's always dealt with me on many times. Tell you to sow something major. Patty would sow a piece of jewelry, you know, that grandma gave her or something, you know, her mom. And without exception, the devil will make sure mom asks about that piece of jewelry. Yeah. Amen. Or somebody ask you about, did you drop a check in this? Well, how much did you give? Well, you know, they're probably going to repossess this or you know. The family starts wanting to make sure that if they give you something, that you don't give it away. Amen. Stipulations. You've got to be willing to stretch when God says stretch. But if you really want to move into this, ask God to show you what to stretch into. I don't want to do that. He might tell me something to do I don't want to do. Exactly. He probably will. He's probably going to tell you to do the one thing you've been dreading doing, because he's waiting for you to ask him to want enough of his kingdom to ask him. And he'll say, now do that thing you've known I've wanted you to do all along. But what he's doing is he's preparing you for the supernatural. Father, seal this word in us in Jesus' name. Cause your perfect will to be done in our lives. Stretch us into faith individually and as a church. And I thank you, Lord God, you multiply us right now as we stretch into you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.